Welcome to Is This Going to Cause an Argument, a weekly podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Tanksley, and the other host is my lovely wife of almost 10 years, Angela Keita Moore Tanksley.
In this podcast, we tackle every single topic out there. Pop culture, politics, life, love, relationships, parenting. We even take the suggestions from our listeners.
So tune in every Wednesday on SoundCloud, iTunes, or YouTube.
Listen in to our hilarious conversations to find out, is this going to cause an argument? Let's see. Okay, guys, we're doing this a little bit different, but we wanted to get up our story time because I know y'all are like, what happened in Cuba?
Yeah, in Cuba.
Like, what happened?
Well, obviously, we backing everything.
Yeah, we. But it's still a bit of a story. So I didn't feel like getting out all the equipment. It's late on a Sunday, but I wanted to make sure this went up tomorrow. So while you all are watching it, so we just have out our little mic. So if you're listening to us, if you're listening to us, if it sounds a little different, it's because we're using different equipment for tonight.
Hopefully it sounds good.
But anyways, we're back. And for those of you all who are rocking with us for the very first time, Marcus and I just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. And every year since our second year, we have been taking turns surprising the other person with a trip somewhere. We used to just go in California.
Yeah, because neither one of us are from California, so it was like we'd go somewhere different every year in California. And then one year she decided to up the ante.
That's right.
And it's been on and popping ever since. I've been crushing the game.
And then I came and just knocked his game into, I was just like, you ain't even the right sport, sir.
That's yeah, then I was like, you ain't on the right planet.
Whatever. So, 10 years, big thing. We went to Cuba because, from the reason why I chose Cuba, this was my year, number 10 was my year. I chose Cuba because Marcus's father's mother is from Cuba. He found that out in recent years. And so I was like, well, that's dope. And while our presidential administration is trying to change travel to Cuba, I was like, let's go ahead. For me, I was like, oh, yeah, we're definitely doing this because it might be a lot more difficult to make this happen. Yeah,
a little backstory on me finding out my grandma's from Cuba. Like, my dad thought I already knew that. So that's a whole different story. I was like, why didn't you ever tell me this? We got into a big discussion, quote unquote discussion about that. But yeah, so I was like, all right, I'm Cuban.
So I was like, we're going to make it happen. So he finds out on the day that we're flying out, we're going to Havana, Cuba.
I find out as we're flying out. That's how she likes to do it.
I love it. That's how you do me too?
You like that though.
I do.
I like to know. Then she's like, you don't seem like you excited.
He was like, that's it.
All my excitement doesn't come out all at once.
Like, first he didn't even know where Havana was.
I couldn't remember. I was like, dang, that sounds familiar.
He was like, it's an interesting choice. Anyways, you can see all that on the channel. If you're on the channel and if you're on the podcast, go over to my YouTube channel. You can see when I told him. You can see most of our trip. So let's fast forward a little bit. We make it to Havana. We are waiting for our luggage. And as we told you all in the vlog, but we'll kind of give you a little snippet of what happened for those who just listened to the podcast. As I am actually waiting for the luggage because I'm up by the carousels, Marcus is towards the back of the airport talking to a gentleman who flew with us that he looked familiar to us. It turns out we don't know who the heck he is.
But everybody knows him, apparently.
So they're having conversation.
Yeah, we just chit-chatting it up, and as we're sitting there, he's telling me how much he comes to Cuba and everything. He's been, basically for the past 10, 12 years, he's been going to Cuba every single year, sometimes multiple times a year. So as we sit there talking, one of the airport officials, young lady, walks up to me, and all these conversations that we're telling you, just so we're not trying to retranslate it, most of it is in Spanish, or at least my broken down version of horrible Spanish. Angela speaks a lot more better Spanish than I do. So she walks up to me, and she's like, passport. I'm like, yeah, sure. So she has on the uniform, and she has this little notepad with no lines on it. It's a notepad and a little
like number. Strips of paper.
Yeah, it was like, I don't even think it was a number 2 pencil. So I give her my passport. I'm like, sure. She's like, I'm going to check everything. I'm like, okay. So me and my guy, we continue to talk. We're holding a conversation. And he's kind of cutting his eye at her. And I'm looking back to see if she's writing down. So she's writing down all my passport information. And then she proceeds to ask me questions like, why am I here? And how long am I going to be here? What's my occupation?
By the time she gets to occupation, I didn't realize what's going on. I just decided I ain't waiting for luggage no more. I go back to join Marcus, and I see this little petite woman, and they wear fishnet stockings a lot.
Yeah.
Designer fishnet stockings.
Mini skirts, fishnet stockings.
So she's got on this little itty-bitty airport uniform with her fishnet stockings. And I was like, hold up. Is this hoe trying to push up on my husband? Because he's the tallest thing in Cuba right now. So I walk over very confidently, and I stand right beside him, in front of her, and she's asking, you know, occupation, and I just start answering as if she knows who the hell I am, and I'm like, engineer.
Yeah.
And she's looking at me.
That was the easiest thing to say. I was like, project management. I don't even know where to go with that.
So. And he tries to say engineer, then I was like, engineer. She's like, oh, engineer. It's just an inhenario. Anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, so as she's sitting there, me and Angel are trying our best to get her to understand our... She's asking questions. We're trying our best to get her to understand our answers.
Another
one walks up.
Yes.
So it's now two of them.
And then because I keep answering questions, she was like, are you his girlfriend? And I was like, no, I am his wife. I'm still thinking this woman's trying to piss... You know, make her mark on my man. I'm trying to piss on him, not realizing, no, this something else is happening right now.
Everybody else was already aware something else was happening. Angel just like, no.
No. Because so the other person that comes up is another woman in fishnets. I said, oh, these hoes are bold in Cuba. Is this what's going to be?
So then she proceeds to ask the other chick. She was quiet. She started asking questions too.
Yes, they both
the
started.
The third lady that came up didn't ask questions. She was just standing there like she was like walking by. And it was like, oh, I'm going to join in on this, too.
Yes.
So like she's on her way to lunch to eat her some bread and cheese.
They have both of our passports. And
Then they start asking Angel the same questions. Like, you know, how long did we tell them, you know, it's people to people education. We're here to learn about the culture. Oh, Escuela. What is it? Universidad.
Because real quick, because somebody was asking if we were doing like a cultural program when I said that traveling to Cuba, if you are a United States citizen, there are certain permits you have to have. One permit, which is the general permit, there's a bunch of categories underneath it, like religious, humane relief. Another one is education, where you are really just learning the culture. To people to people, you are meeting people, you're not there for just recreational activities. Right. So we say that just so it's clear, like we know what we need to be doing here, which is learning the culture, not just chilling all the goddamn time.
So that conversation proceeds, and then by that time, a guy walks up, airport official, and then there's another guy that's a passenger that hears this language struggle between us, so he starts translating for us, which went a little more smooth. But then the guy that worked at the airport, he understood a little bit better.
Yeah, he understood more.
What we were trying to say. So that conversation went on for like 25 minutes or something like that. Like it was...
It might not have been that long, but it felt...
It was at least 15 minutes. Because the power went out a couple of times. And I'm like, all right, y'all need to run and try to reset that generator. And they didn't go anywhere. They was like... So as I'm sitting there talking to Michael and all this is unfolding.
They don't know who Michael is because we didn't say his name.
That's fine.
The dude that Marcus had been talking to.
The guy that I was talking to. We buddies now. So as I'm sitting there talking to him, I realize he does this all the time, especially in Cuba. So he looks at me and he's like, hey, why are they sweating you? And I was like, I don't know. So the fact that he had that question, I was like,
and
all right.
And he's been there at least two times.
A lot of times. So, and then as they're all asking these questions and we're like surrounded by these four airport officials, I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, oh, this is like, they just... random people that got off the plane. So I started looking around the airport and nobody else is being questioned.
We the only ones with people around us.
And now everybody else in the airport is looking at us like, what's going on?
She must
have
got drugs up in the butt or something. Why would they were out here? So,
she takes a little notepad and...
She's writing down a bunch of stuff. So, but it's starting to get weird. The two questions that kind of weirded me was...
One of the last two questions.
One, they were like, how much money did you bring? And I was like, like, if you don't bring over $5,000, you don't have to declare how much you bring. So I'm like, why y'all need to know? To me, that felt like, okay, they're about to ask us for some money, like, in order not to get arrested. Like, that's what was going on in the back of my head. Of like, why you need to know how much money we have?
And so then right after that question, it was, where are you staying? I want to be like, none of your business where we stay.
They wanted the full address, and they surely wrote it down. So, obviously, eventually, they let us go from that. All they said was they just had to check for information. Yeah, we just checked in
there. Because it was like, is there a problem? No problem. No problem. Everybody kept saying, no problem. No problem.
And if you could have seen how, like, informal this paper that she was literally like a scrap piece of paper that she was writing this on. So, it's just kind of like, what type of database do you have that this is the way that you get?
I tend to be a little analytical, so I'm looking to see who else is in. Ain't nobody else information on it. I was like, first page. It was like, put that page back. I'm going to start scribbling on the second page.
It wasn't even a notebook. It was strips of paper. There was no, there was nothing for it to be attached to.
Right after this whole conversation, like, we pretty much ended that conversation. They let us go. So now nerves are a little up, but the fact that they just kind of let us go, I'm like, all right, what else is going to happen? Because we were just talking to people in line. Or we went to talk to people. We left there, went to the currency, which was right next door. And then we started, like, telling people. Yeah. Some people were asking, like, what was going on with that? And other people were like, oh, yeah, I had a friend, so.
Yeah, we heard a couple of, like, there was one girl who was telling us about her friend who had a great time in Cuba, was leaving and got arrested.
Held in jail for 5 days.
Because she had a professional camera and they thought she was a spy.
And basically let her go, but kept the camera.
So, fast forward to Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. So, we're sitting down. We're eating.
No, we're not eating. We are checking. Near the restaurants. Yeah, we're near the restaurants checking my email because Wi-Fi is very spotty. And there's only a certain places where you can get Wi-Fi in Cuba. So, we're checking to see, oh, there are restaurants that we can go to. I forgot I have a list of, like, all the dope restaurants and clubs. So, we can actually go do something, you know, a little interesting at least at night. So, as we're standing there taking screenshots of the stuff that I have on my phone, our host comes up to us. And he's like, hey, guys. We're like, hi. And he's like,
hey, did anything happen yesterday or today while you were out walking or visiting?
In the streets.
We're like, yeah, anything happened in the streets, something? Like,
nah.
He keeps asking, like, you know, kind of persistent. We was like, well, what's the problem? He's like, oh, immigration called. And they want you to come down to the office tomorrow morning at 10:30 for an interview. We like, what did you just say? Sorry, you're going to have to leave that out.
Take it, Marcus.
Like, what did you just say? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. It's no problem. It was like, what do you mean it's no problem? Why do they want to talk to us?
They just want to do a 15-minute interview, and then you all can go right back to doing whatever you were doing. And we were just like, okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
So we'll cook breakfast. I'll get a come off work. I'll go down there with you.
And All right. So we
start mapping out plans. It's like American Embassy's like about a 5-10 minute walk from here. Do we need to go visit that? Right. We meet some other girls later. There was some New York or something. We tell them about it.
Yeah.
We send her a sister who's a lawyer, all types of information, passport information. If we don't contact you tomorrow by this time, start making stuff happen.
Because the thing is that, you know, we are Black Americans. So granted, you know, we don't know how any other places ran, but in America, if officials want to see me and I don't know why, I'm not thinking, oh, it's all good.
It's never a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Want to see African Americans.
Yeah, it's like, nah, simple as that. Son, you're going to need to tell me what's happening ahead of time.
There's always a reason, and it's usually not good.
And especially being in a country where we don't speak the language. And we don't, and there, it's a communist country, not to say that that is something like horrific. Yeah. We just don't know how they run things.
Yeah, we're in another country, and if something pops off, the U.S. ain't gonna do nothing to help us, but they're gonna be like, you should have been over here to begin with.
Exactly. We ain't buddy.
Yeah, we realize we on our own at this point.
Right.
So we had probably 12 to 14 hours to just sit on that news, like from the time he told us to the appointment.
So there was no going out.
Yeah, we're supposed to be going out. We're going out. Nerves got out. So I made us feel a little better because I was like, if it was a true problem, they would have came and found us or been waiting on us when we got back or picked us up while we were at the place. Right. They know exactly where we stand.
Exactly.
And then after we went back and we talked to the host a little bit more or whatever, because he's a manager at a hotel. So one of the nicer hotels. He's a manager. Been doing it for a long time. So he was like, you know, they check things like this. So that made us feel a little better. On top of that, my passport was just renewed. That could I know was in the back of our minds.
He was like, when I did the Airbnb reservation, it just had my name on it because it was a surprise. I didn't want them to send him an email. They were, he was like, it might be that they.
And Angel is a,
male, name. Angel is a male Spanish name. You know, these are all things that I don't think of. You know, when people come to the U.S., I'm sure it has its difficulties, but like, I've never thought of it as, oh, immigration is going to call the host house to be like, who's staying with you?
Yeah, so they done had a whole conversation about us. Like they scheduled a time. I guess they wanted us to come in earlier. And he was like...
No, he was afraid that we had scheduled a tour, so we would miss the tour altogether.
Right. So we were like, yeah, this whole breakfast thing, you're going to fix us. Is that our last meal?
Right. So we wake up. It's our actual anniversary. It's the 14th of July.
That's a lot. Happy anniversary.
We might be going to jail. Like, we don't know. Yeah. We're just like, are they confusing us with somebody else? Did somebody get into illegal activity? Did we participate in illegal activity? Like, what is going on?
Probably. So
they make us this really nice breakfast, and we're trying to eat on our bubble guts. Like, and we're just eating all these breads and cheeses. Our host does, like he said, he comes back from work in a taxi. He picks me and Marcus and his mother up because his mother owns the Airbnb business.
Who is straight, so baller.
Yeah, she looked like,
there is no like Cuban mafia, like they don't deal with like that, like organized crime over there.
But she looked like she was the mother of a mobster. She looked like the mother on Bad Boys 2 when they go to Cuba and to save the sister.
Yeah, their mama wasn't laid like she was. She had her little short haircut.
But their mama
had on the sun of shades, her nice little blouse, a nice little pants. She had a fan.
She was cute.
She stepped out like part ways.
I'm a CEO. Come on. So we get in the taxi. We drive. Our host has never been to immigration, so he's going off of the address they gave him. So we get to where the address is, and we're just around like houses.
This is like a residential area.
Yeah, it's just like, what? And so there's like two guys sitting on the sidewalk. So our host jumps out the taxi and he's asking them. And so my host starts hitting back up the street. The taxi can't go backwards.
He swoops around the block, and we pull up next to this building, and our host goes in there. And he's talking to somebody, then he comes out, he's waving us to come in. So me and Angel, we both look up at the top of the building, it's like,
this can't be it.
That ain't it.
Because it says, policia, which is police. We were at the police station, we were at the jailhouse.
Yeah.
We were like, nah. We supposed to be going to immigration. This is not immigration, this is jail.
I was like, if I have to set it off, you're going to be the first one I come in.
Because, you know, it's just like, if they do think we did something illegal, which we probably did end up buying some illegal cigars by accident. We might have. But if that's the case, like, and if it was going to jeopardize his business, he would turn us in. Like, if they called and were like, these people are doing stuff, you need to bring them in because we're going to put them in jail. Angel,
if he got to pick between his business and his family, and us, he's going to pick his business. That's what I was telling Angel.
He just is going to do that.
So, anyway, so...
We get out the car.
We get out the car, we walk in, and we hear him say to the guy that he was talking to out front, he was like, thanks, F.A.
Yes.
I was like,
that means
call him boss.
Listen, we didn't watch Power. So we know who F.A. is.
Yeah, so as we walking into the building, we see a white couple walking out. And they had a look on their face, because I was about to speak to them. They had a look on their face like they were held at gunpoint.
Yeah, like...
Like they had a look of just straight, just...
Distress.
Yeah. Written all over their face. So I was like...
Give us a sign. Well, like, go in?
So our host goes to the door. He's like putting his arm out like, all right, y'all go ahead. So I'm hoping I'm going to look around inside this office and see like a bunch of people in there getting questioned. There were three people in that room. There was one chick looking at some papers at a desk. There was another chick against the on the opposite side of the room typing on a computer that I'm pretty sure wasn't plugged in. And then there was a guy in the middle of them in a uniform with his arms behind his back. And it's like, hide your seat.
Right. And we're like, and then we're like in this little hot box that was probably built in the 60s or the 70s.
Any movie you've seen of like third world country, like police station, or even like a modern day movie, but they go to like a third world country, something like it. It's like wires hanging out of the wall, no AC.
They had an AC unit that was a wall AC unit, and it was sticking to the wall, and they had it had a wooden frame around it, but the right side of the wooden frame was missing. I remember this vividly.
They had four pictures on the wall, four posters. One, Che Guevara.
Che Guevara.
Fidel Castro, and then two other guys that had something to do with, like, big-time revolution.
And these are, like, faded posters that I think are put on cardboard.
The frame was broken.
Yeah, like, and then they had some other, like, old, like, faded. They had two more old faded posters on the opposite side. So, like, just really...
And the only thing they were missing was, like, the ceiling fan with, like, two or three blades on it, just saying. Like,
but it was so hot in there.
We sitting there, it's like... This is where we at right now.
The only thing that brought me comfort was that one of the women kissed the grandmother on the cheek, and I said, okay, she must have pool up in here. Like, there's...
However, I think she still might be Cuban Mafia.
That's what I said. She probably got some pool. Yeah. She might be running things. I don't know.
So then the guy standing in the middle... Yeah, we just play. So the guy standing in the middle, he starts asking his questions, and Angel takes over most of the conversation because, like I said, she speaks a lot better Spanish than I do. But he's going pretty much the same question they was asking at the airport, like, how long you been here? How long you plan on being here? Mm-hmm. You know, how much money did he ask the money? Yeah, how much money did you bring?
No, he didn't. He didn't ask money.
But occupation. He went straight to occupation and all this. And he's like, do you like Cuba? We're like, yeah.
We love it.
I mean, I've been trying to love it. And then, so he goes through that. And he's like, where all have you been? So he's like, you know,
I'm like
we took
South Celeste. Yeah, he's
street
names,
like,
South Celeste.
He's like,
he wanted
no,
to
he said, in
me.
Cuba?
Yeah.
It was like that was unheard of. We were like, yeah.
And then
he was
like,
where?
So I had to show him the address. It was just really weird. Like,
yeah, she was like, well, you know, I found out she out on the computer. I found out.
Like, I saw the woman website.
Website. So I was scared. He's like, oh. So then after all his questioning, he was like, when are you coming back? And I was like,
To Cuba?
And I'm like, what did he say? She said, he won't know when we come. I said, well, hell, can we come back? And our host, and this dude's like stern, like stone face. Our host just starts laughing. And our host starts explaining to him what I said and why. So then he finally cracks his smile. He's like, no, please come back, come back. No problem. Please come back.
We just checking.
Yeah, we're just checking things. We're just checking, just random checking. I'm like, this don't feel random no more.
When I tell you this man did not crack a smile until that point, every other thing, he was just grilling me question after question. And this is mostly, is in his broken English and his Spanish, and in my broken Spanish and his English.
And the questions were repeating. I'm like, they're looking for us to say something different.
Yeah, it was
That was my interpretation of
it. I'm telling you, I tell people, it was like, the day of Pentecost, the Lord gave me various tongues to speak to this man. He was like, why are you leaving so soon? I was like, porque el trabajé a la lunes y nosotros tenemos tres hijos.
Yeah, they was trying to explain to him that I got a good job.
We got kids.
It's our anniversary today. Oh, yeah, I heard him say happy anniversary.
It was just like, oh my God.
But we were down there for about 15 minutes. And
look, so he stopped asking us questions after the laugh and everything. After he said, it's okay. He was like, come back to Cuba always, always. Please come back. We would love you. He was like, tell Marcus, you know, you should go find where your grandmother was lived, blah, blah, blah. So they're no longer really paying us any attention. We're still in the seats. And I look at Marcus and I say, well, I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk towards the door. I don't know if we can, but that is what I am going to do.
Like, I ain't making no sudden movements. Right. I know how it's played here in the States.
Listen, because when we sat down, they were like passport and visa, and Marcus didn't already have them out, so he has to go into his pocket of his shorts. And I was like, God damn it!
I already assessed the situation. I ain't seen no guns anywhere.
I'm thinking you're about to reach into your pocket and think, okay.
Even the cops outside, I was like, where are they pistols at? Man?
That's why they don't have accidental shootings in Cuba. But yeah.
But no, I wasn't. That was my least of my concerns. It was like.
It was hella stressful. It was.
Crime McGraw or something, so I ain't gonna test him.
So then we got a herpes before, because I forgot there's one whole more story to tell y'all. So we get out of there, everything's fine, but it was extremely stressful, and to the point that when we got back to the apartment, our host wife and her sister are waiting, looking
out
the window. Waiting to see the taxi pull up and to see if we got out of the taxi. As soon as they see our faces, they're like, oh. And he was like, they were really nervous.
Oh, you was nervous too. We was all nervous.
You didn't know what was going to happen. You trying to tell us, I don't want to see those faces.
Yeah, no, not okay. Those faces. Not those faces. You ain't the one.
That's the question. God dang it. But I guess they were like, we might lose our business if they locked them up there. Everybody's buttholes were tight. Yeah. So anyway, we decided, you know what, we haven't done anything like extremely just relaxing and fun. Like I said, it was all education. We had already planned
a trip to the beach.
So we were like, let's just go to the beach. So we go to the beach. Y'all see that in the footage of the vlog. If you haven't gone to see the vlog, go watch it. Well, as we're getting ready to leave, it's been a great, relaxing day. There's this group of people beside us that are having a great time.
Like right beside us. Like it was hard to keep your eye out for them because like almost everybody knew them.
Yeah.
They were just having a good time.
It's so like from here to the camera. Like they were really close.
Like I was like we facing this way and they're like right there. So I was entertained by it. I'm like, they having a good time over here.
They're drinking. They're playing. Like they're picking with each other, putting whipped cream on each other's face. And then everything changes. And
I see a young girl. She looked like she was late teens or whatever. She come and sit behind one of the ladies that was sitting beside me. And she's got an attitude, and I see, like, now all the girls, all their demeanors and everything's changed. And the guy that was walking around started the whole whipped cream game and, like, getting physical and just playing around with everybody. I was told Angela, I was like, yeah, that dude must have went too far with one of these young girls. Angela's like, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, because she's so mad. She's sitting there with her arms crossed. She's not having it. He walks up, and he's talking to her, and she's, like, talking, you know.
Yeah.
They speak in Spanish. They talk too fast for me to understand anything. Really fast. But you know body language well enough to know it's about to go down. Damn. And Marcus is like, oh, I want to see where this goes. And I'm like,
I'm like, I don't watch all this unfold. I got to see the end of this. I'm going to watch the credits roll at least.
So
go ahead.
I see the man grab her by her face. Now, for those of you watching, I'm going to show you an example. And for those of you not watching, just imagine somebody grabbing you from below and grabbing your cheeks. And like, so your lips are being pushed out. And he's like moving her head around. Yeah,
squeezing the face around. I'm like,
and you can tell it's not a game because she's still pissed. And she's like trying to get him back.
Yeah. So then he like, he hits her. He smacks her on the face.
Like, but the prior.
The first time. That's when I said they're about to break this bottle over his head. He smacked over the face, and I was like, and one of the girls was like, hold on. I was like, Angel. Because they had a liquor bottle, like, right there beside him. I said, Angel.
Yeah, that was so before the first smack, when I see this, I'm like, Marcus, we need to go. I'm like, we need to go. We need to go right now when I see her grabbing by the face, because I know, one, this is about to get real messy. And then, two, if this man sits here and beats this woman on the beach, Marcus is going to have is not going to be able to just sit. He's going to have a hard time just sitting and letting that happen. And I'm not about to have my husband fighting for no chick out in Cuba that we don't, like, nah, we just got out of jail. We just got out of jail. We not going back.
So then. Bring it back. Sorry. Where did you just go?
Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, we not going back to jail. So he smacks her. It's like a swing, tennis swing, and he, like that.
So I see the girl, a lot of girls jump up. I'm like, Angel, they about to break this bottle over his head. No. So I'm like, I'm going to stick around and watch this. But their reaction wasn't big enough.
Yeah, no.
So he's still getting physical with her. At this point, she's like kicking it like about like halfway swinging at him a little bit. I'm like, yep, let's roll out. So
because Marcus is just
because I'm getting antsy. I'm like, dude, I'm going to put my hands on this dude so bad.
And I'm like,
so they could be some of them chicks like, don't you be grabbing, you know, get mad at me if I knock him out. So we're grabbing our stuff. We're getting everything. And as we're getting up and packing up our stuff, we're like about to walk away. He smacks her again so hard, like open-handed, like put all his chest and shoulder into it and smacks her so hard.
Hard as hell, y'all.
To the point why everybody was like, oh!
I was like, let's go.
Yeah, I said, yeah, let's ride out. So
let's go.
As we walking away, we still looking back, see it unfold, and that's when all the girls, they all jump up. Again, their reactions ain't big enough to over here.
Yeah, like it was just been a fight. Thing. We just would have been ganging up on him. It is what it is.
I mean, granted, she's fighting him, but it ain't like it should have been.
Like, for him to be that bold to smack her in the face, it's just like then somebody needed to have been bold enough to punch him in his, and that's not what was happening at all.
So as we walking away, we see one of the guys that work at the beach, and we're like, we're trying to explain to him, hey, this dude just hit this girl back there. And he didn't understand, so we explained to it again. He points at Angel, it's like, I'm like, we're like, no,
but he did.
He said, he body's floating all in the ocean right now. So I'm like, well, point over there. And then he could see the commotion. He's like, oh, chica.
Yeah, yeah.
He had got his little cane. He just kept on moseying
off.
So we looking like
you just ain't gonna do nothing.
So he went over to the booth where the rest of the officials at the beach were sitting in.
And they just
he's telling them, so they all just start watching. Like, watch this whole thing unfold. I'm like, I guess this is what they do over here then.
This is their telenovela.
Yeah, it's time to roll out. So as we are waiting on the bus, so we hanging out front for a little bit. It was, 30 minutes?
Yes, at least, yeah.
And then we see a police car, riding up and down the street. But as so much time has passed, we done halfway forgot about that whole incident. So by the time the bus comes, we get on the bus, and the bus, it makes a U-turn or something, right?
No, we were sitting there for a minute. And
we were just sitting on the bus. That's what happened. Then we see, a crowd of people coming out, and the dude is in handcuffs.
Yes.
And what was funny about it is the cops had the guy handcuffed, and the girls are now, getting in the dude's face and, pushing him in his face and doing this and that. The cops are just
hey.
They're not actually stopping. They're like, don't stop. This is your chance to bust him in the head if you're going to do something, because the cops don't seem like they care.
They surely didn't. So that really just killed the day. It was so disturbing to see someone smack a female in the face. And to not feel like anybody was there to really defend her, because it just was not going to be my husband.
There was one guy there that was pushing the dude away, but I think that was his boy.
Yeah.
Pushing him away from the whole thing. But
so it was more he was trying to de-escalate it and not so much defend her.
So I said he needed his throat cut.
Yes, and that's why I was you're not going to be the one. Today, if you are the only one that's going to save her from getting slapped, she's just going to be getting slapped.
I wasn't about to I'm gonna go over. I was like, man, I understand the situation we in. I know I ain't about to do nothing.
But you could see him boiling, and I was just see, I don't know, this man could have all of a sudden kicked this woman in the stomach. I don't know how far he would have went, and eventually,
and then, if she messed around and pushed him or something, and he fell over on me, that would have just
he's a whole gave reason, me green light. Right? And I've been no, the lights aren't on at all. The lights are out. Let's go. So Cuba basically had a lot of deep, dark moments in there for us that made it.
However, made it what?
Not as enjoyable as we would have liked it.
However, please, it's hard to say. So I know it seems weird us saying it or me saying this. I would, even after hearing all this, if you didn't plan on going, I recommend going.
Yeah.
If you plan on going, please go. It's beautiful. It's nice. The people are nice. They have an extremely low crime rate. We never, at one point in time, ever felt like we weren't safe.
Right.
Even walking around late at night up in the residential areas, we never felt like we were in danger because everybody was so nice.
Yeah.
Our host was freaking amazing.
Amazing. They were so nice. To his Airbnb.
The people, please leave that. If you're going to go, do Airbnb. Stay with somebody local. They'll give you the do's and don'ts. They'll show you around. They were extremely nice. The place is beautiful. That beach is actually probably one of the most beautiful beaches we've ever been to. It's just coming down from immigration and seeing that kind of skewed that. But now that I look back at the pictures and I remember sitting there, I was like, I don't think there's a beach on the northern continental area that is better than that beach. That beach was absolutely beautiful. I've been to Florida, Malibu. Malibu. We've been to a whole bunch of beaches.
Sand Malibu. Malibu.
We've been to a lot of beaches. That beach was absolutely beautiful. The water was nice. Even all the touristy areas, other than everybody trying to sell you cigars. It was beautiful. I definitely would say go to Cuba.
Yeah.
Especially before.
A lot of people who went had a great time.
Yeah.
It was just
absolutely. We've heard out of our story, we've heard three horrible stories, and we're probably the third worst out of all those stories. And out of all the people we know that went to Cuba, all the people we talked to that were there, and new people that went, if that's the worst one of the worst you could get, then absolutely go. I've heard of much worse things happening with people visiting here in the United States. So.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this has gone on long enough, but that is what happened. The footage for the last part of the trip should be coming up here soon. It has a sponsored part of the video, so I'm waiting to get that part approved. So hopefully you all see that on Tuesday. But yeah, that is our Cuba story.
Yeah, that's our immigration.
Yeah. So you guys make sure you rate us on SoundCloud and iTunes as usual. Follow me on all my social media, Facebook, That Chick Angel, YouTube, That Chick Angel TV, Instagram, That Chick Angel, and then Twitter, Angel the Actress. And come back next week for another podcast. We might actually get up a podcast this Wednesday on Jay-Z's album, as well as the controversy with R. Kelly and other things happening in the world. You got anything you want to add?
No, I'm just saying.
He's 10 more years of this.
You better hope.
You better hope. Your dream come true. All right, guys, we got to get in bed, but we hope you all have a blessed day. We'll talk to you later.
Y'all have a good one.
Bye.